It's City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, is the public affairs manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Here's Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this City Desk program on Thursday, June 20th at 10:43 in the morning. Here with us, as usual, is Cecilia Dobbs-Walton, public affairs specialist for the City of Biloxi. What do you want to talk about, Cecilia?
Well, we always have lots going on in Biloxi, so we have lots going on. Lots happening, of course, this weekend. A lot that's been going on throughout the city.
Scraping the coast. That's the first thing we want to talk about. People have been driving these roads of Biloxi for the last several months, possibly the last several years, with just plenty of road work going on in the city. What you saw on Highway 90 the past week was there was some work going on, drainage work that MDOT is doing right there at the foot of White Avenue, a little bit to the west of White Avenue. Bottom line is it caused a tremendous bottleneck of westbound traffic every morning, every noon, and every afternoon. Morning drive and afternoon drive, to be precise. We are happy to say, we are relieved to say, we are pleased to say that that work right there at White Avenue is done. The next place that they were going to be moving to was Acacia, which they've done the work there. Each spot takes about 3 days. They still have to do Rodenburg and two spots at Beauvoir Road. The police department has spoken to the Mississippi Department of Transportation and impressed upon them the tremendous amount of traffic that we're expecting in Biloxi on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. What they were hoping to do was start their traffic plan. And the police department's traffic plan is going to begin with the cones that come out on Friday morning at 4 in the morning. So when you're driving to work Friday and throughout the weekend, you're going to see the cones that you traditionally see when we have a special event. These cones go down the middle lane eastbound and the middle lane westbound. They're going to go from the I-110 all the way down to, I believe, DeBees Road. Let me make sure looking at the map. Yes, DeBees Road. What this does is, by having the scraping and all other traffic on Highway 90 in the far right lane, that reserves that left-hand lane for emergency vehicles. That is only going to be if we need to do that. Typically, people drive throughout the weekend in the left lane or right lane until the police department says, we've got too much traffic, it's going to hamper our rescue and life-saving efforts should we need to be called to a house fire or anything in East or West Biloxi. We would have to implement the plan if traffic is heavy. We're hoping we don't have to do that. We went last year without having to do it at all. Cecilia, at the point in time whenever that plan is going to be implemented, how are people going to know about this?
Well, it's easy, Vincent. You can sign up for our B Alert system. And all you have to do is text Biloxi to 888-777. That's B-I-L-O-X-I to 888-777. And you'll get the on-the-go notices right there to your cell phone. And we do it for traffic advisories. We also do it for weather advisories. But like Vincent said, for the scraping the coast, once that plan is into effect, and then once, if it does go into effect, and then once it is lifted, we'll also put out a message through that B Alert system.
So it's something that it's a pretty fluid situation. The police department looks at it like if traffic's moving okay and it's not an issue, we're not going to mess with it. We're going to leave it alone. However, if it starts becoming a problem, what you'll see happen is, first off, the number of intersections will close so that you can't make a U-turn everywhere. You might not be able to make a left-hand turn, essentially, is what would happen. The other thing that would happen is the traffic signals will go into flashing mode, and the police officers will be at various intersections keeping traffic moving. We're hoping we don't have to do any of that, but if it comes to a point, they will implement that system. Why is MDOT doing all the work right now, you may wonder? What MDOT's doing right now is called point repairs. What a point repair is essentially a drainage repair. And it's a point repair. It's usually done before some paving work begins. What MDOT's plan is this summer to pave all of Highway 90 in Biloxi, from DeBees Road all the way down to the Biloxi Bay Bridge. Right now, people are shaking their heads saying, geez, now I got all the neighborhood streets that are hard to navigate. Now I'm going to have Highway 90. The good news is that MDOT and Warren Paving, the company that's doing just about all the paving in Biloxi right now. The work on Highway 90 is going to be done at night. They are working to they're working to minimize the inconvenience to motorists. Some people think it is.
Yeah, even in the evening, if I'm driving in the evening, oh my God.
Yeah, they're thinking, oh, well, they're making a plan to inconvenience me. What the goal is to have all of this work done. I think they said it's going to be 3 to 4 months and that all the paving work will be done. But we're continuing to make progress on the East Biloxi work. We have posted today on the city's website and YouTube page and on BTV the new video about the progress that's being made in East Biloxi. Tells you what they've been doing, what they're doing right now, and what they're going to be doing. On the city's website, if you go over to the right-hand side where it says Restore Biloxi, click on that and you can see detailed maps on how much water work has been done, how much sewer work has been done, how much drainage work. There's even a map that the mayor requested that we've been running for about 4 or 5 months now, updating it every month, shows how many dirt roads we have left north of the railway. What that tells people is, oh, well, good, they only got this much more to go. It cuts out everything. You don't get into how much water, how much sewer, how much paving. Tell me how many dirt roads we've got so I know, and the number is getting very small. Cecilia, I know we have other things going on. Sanger Theater had a few people here.
They did, but before we talk about the Sanger, I want to mention one more thing since we were talking kind of about road and traffic. Just to remember that the work on the Pops Ferry Bridge, again, it did not affect the motorists going over the bridge, but it did marine traffic. And that work on the bridge, repairing the electrical, getting everything ready for the new underwater cables that they have installed, that should end this weekend. Expected to end on the 22nd, which is actually Saturday. So I wanted to make note of that. But you mentioned about the Sanger Theater. The Sanger Theater, of course, is a theater in our downtown area. And as the mayor has said, and many people said this week during city council meeting, that is a gem in our city. The Sanger Theater has been closed for a little over a year so that assessments can be done and a plan can be put in place to start the repairs. We're now at that point that all that has been complete. A bid has came to the city council. It came on actually June the 4th to award a contract to contractors to do work on the fly tower, which is a large, tall tower in the back, and I believe that kind of handles all the cables and stuff that affects the stage and the curtains. So that's a big part. And then also the roof, which needed repaired. Council tabled the event just because they wanted to, they tabled it for 60 days, and they wanted to do that so that the city of Biloxi could look for other sources of funding, because to do the project, it is over $3 million for the exterior project, but this, again, was just for the roof and the fly tower. So with that, concerned citizens came to the city council meeting this week, and we had Gwen Glott that gave a presentation, talked about the history, talked about her time in the Sanger Theater, and compared it to other Sanger Theaters and other renovations that had been done around the coast, I think the Sanger in New Orleans. Then we had a lot of citizens that came up that have been in plays in the Sanger Theater, and they shared their experiences and their importance of the Sanger Theater. They also expressed their concerns to the city of Biloxi on wanting to help out with the city, you know, to different ways to raise funds for the city to help get these renovations. It has been and it still is the position of the city to repair the Sanger Theater. But again, it is an historic building, so there are steps that have to be done. There are procedures to go through, the certain materials that have to be approved. They also had to find old records that they didn't have. They had to even find out exactly what the building was made of, you know, that it was steel beam. So they didn't even have all that information. Just because it's so old, records just wasn't upkept. So they had to go do all that. So that's one reason why it took so long. And then, of course, again, like I said, it's an historic building, so you had to get approval for things to be done and what products could be used. But now we're at that point. We're ready to move forward with getting those repairs done. So we're just waiting for the bid to come back to the city of Biloxi and move forward with that. But in the meantime, the city, like I said, is continuing to look for funding in different ways on how to get the money to do all these repairs.
What happened at the city council meeting when this was on the agenda was a couple of the council members had questions about, okay, well, this is just the very first part of it, and it's that fly tower way in the back, and then you're doing the roof. What about the rest of it? How much is that going to cost? What's the plan for that? And we're going to stop right here before we approve anything else. And there was a discussion among the council members where one of them actually said, you know, maybe we need to build something new instead of this. And
three council members, I don't want to just single out one, actually three, one said those, but two more also said, is it worth it for us to put this money into it? Should we tear it down? So it was a standpoint, you know, it was mentioned by a couple council members.
That's what brought the people out. And then another thing, in the work on the fly tower, a part of the structure within the fly tower, some of these old components that were used, they have to be removed as part of the new work to it's the stuff you never see behind the house, they call it, mm-hmm. the back of the house. Well, anyway, the word demolition is used in the contract.
Ooh.
So that's what it is. It's a small portion of something that is being demolished. Well, that just took on a life of its own. The city's getting ready to tear down the Sanger Theater. Let's go down there with pitchforks and hang some people in effigy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were looking at the other day. Gwen Gallott is the grand dame of the Sanger Theater, the matriarch of the Sanger. So she brought a lot of emotion, and she brought a lot of history to this discussion. How important is a theater, William?
Well, you talk about the history of the theater itself, and one was mentioned by Cecilia. The one in New Orleans is refurbished because it's an historical site. I understand Pensacola is something that you can really write home about. All right, one in Hattiesburg, where the Sanger brothers built. There's a whole cosmos of history and dot connection. So you need to save it, and there has to be methodologies, and I think they are in place that they can get funding to do it, but you ought to, and now you really have to, because you have publicly stated to the world that the city of Biloxi is going to retain its historical posture, which is a very good landmark and a very good disposition to have, especially today where retro is all happening and in vogue. So you've got an awful lot of the larger 30,000 feet dynamics in place. A long-winded story to end up with, no, you don't want to tear it down. You really have to refurbish it and keep it and then reopen it and make it a revenue stream.
What's the city doing now? Cecilia told you we've got the bid in hand. It's in the hands of the city council on whether or not we're going to move forward with this fly tower and with the roof work. Once you do the fly tower and the roof, then the exterior walls need to be done. Apparently, years and years and years ago, these walls were sandblasted. And the sealant apparently was taken off of these walls, or it's not there the way it used to be. And so the water, in addition to some places seeping through the roof and the fly tower, it also permeates those walls. What that means is the moisture inside of those walls begins to impact the stucco. The stucco begins falling off the walls. This theater, I've been here a little bit over 20 years, and from what I recall, this theater was redone at least three, maybe four times. So it's like a boat, you know? You pouring money into that boat, but it's something that you enjoy, something that brings a quality to your community, a quality to your life. A lot of people have a connection with it.
And historically speaking, we have a Sanger Theater. Let that sink in. Like New Orleans, we have a Sanger Theater. You don't. And Sanger has an historical presence and importance and relevance. So Biloxi can say, we have a Sanger Theater.
Goes back to 1929, started with the vaudeville era. Then at some point, the motion picture company that owned it, distributor, whatever, what they decided to do after a fire, I think in the 70s, all of a sudden it was deeded to the city. Then the city took it over, and one of the first renovations was, I think, done in 75 all the way up to 78, 77, and that had to do with the establishment of the Catholic Diocese of Biloxi. That was one of the first things Gwen Gallott worked on, was helping bring that Sanger back so that it could be the host for the taking over of the first African-American bishop in the country, Bishop Joseph Lawson Howells. That put the spotlight from the rest of the country, certainly the Catholic world, on Biloxi.
Yeah.
And we had a beautiful show place to do it. Gwen Gallott says, why can't we do that again? And so that's what a lot of people, and granted, it was an audience in here that was all pro theater, all pro performing arts, and what's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing. Performing arts and reality. You know, there's a method to madness, so you have my brain ticking, so let me just think about this.
I see William Sackett big band orchestra dance coming up is what I see, Cecilia. The other thing the city's doing is they're going to put out a request for proposals if there's interest in the private sector to move forward with this. And somebody in the private sector may want to come in here and manage this thing. And what they would get out of it, as I understand it, they would put some money in it for the refurbishment, restoration of this theater. And Cecilia used that word a couple of times earlier, repair, and she knows, she's heard it numerous times, it is repair, but it's also the bigger picture's restoration of this entire theater. We're not just gonna, you know, put some boards up or whatever. This is gonna be a full-scale restoration, which is gonna cost millions, dare I say millions of dollars.
I'll throw this out in case the business community is there. You want to discuss naming rights. No, we're not going to rename the Sanger Theater, but there's a lot of play that can be done, and I'm pretty sure that our leadership will know that they can reach out from this area to national people or national companies, corporations, industries, or brands that they want to identify, and especially peculiar to Biloxi, because of where you're at right now. This is a booming community in America. So anyway, we're getting into business, and this is not a business show, but yes, the Sanger will be saved, and the Sanger will be here.
If you go to the front page of the website, you can see a link to the request for proposals. Anybody who is in the private sector that is interested in this, what would they get out of this? One of the big things they get out of this are the tax credits. We're not talking about just Biloxi tax credits. We're talking about on your federal taxes. There are incentives in place for the federal tax credits, that whatever money they spend, it shows exponentially on the amount of taxes that they pay for their business. So that is something, you use that word right off a lot. That's exactly right. But that's, you know, you get into the legalese and all that other stuff, so we put it on
There's potential to do this, really.
It's been done elsewhere.
Yeah.
So now over in New Orleans, when you look at what's done over there, I think you looked at a lot of post-Katrina money that was poured into that theater. And Cecilia, what else do we have to talk about?
Well, this weekend, Biloxi Shuckers, they continue their homestead at MGM Park. Friday, they will be, well, today, I guess Thursday is the double play Thursday, but Friday, they are going to have a fireworks show after their event, and then their homestead continues through the 24th. We also have, like I said, Scraping the Coast, which actually starts Friday and goes through Sunday, or Saturday, I believe. It goes through Sunday, I apologize. And then we also have a lot of events going on at the casinos and around the city. Then on June the 22nd, which is Saturday, actually, didn't say it on here, didn't realize the date, is Pick Up the Point. It's where people can gather at Point Cadet and go around and help clean up the litter. It is it's all by volunteers, and it's coordinated by the Harrison County Beautification Commission, the Board of Supervisors, the City of Biloxi, and a couple others. So go out there. It is between 8 and 11 at the Point Cadet Plaza. You can contact Sherry Bell at cbell@biloxi.ms.us and go to our website at biloxi.ms.us.
Finally, if you are a resident of Ward 6 or Ward 7, there are two openings on the Tree Committee. The Tree Committee is a committee where the citizens attend regularly monthly meetings, either in person or via telephone. What they do is some of them will go out to site visits. They will go to some regular public meetings. What their job is to just be aware of what's going on development-wise in our city and how it might impact the greenery that we have in our city. That's another one of our calling cards, these majestic oaks. And we have a number of ordinances that are in place. And some point along the way, the mayor and the city council said, hey, just to make sure, let's have an advisory tree committee that will maybe open up some new ideas for us or whatever, and just look over our shoulder to make sure that we are doing the right thing for our city. So the bottom line is there's an opening for Ward 6 and there's an opening for Ward 7 on the tree committee. There's one person from each ward that serves on this advisory committee. They meet once a month. They talk about all things trees. Not just a matter of cutting down trees, it is a matter of making sure we mitigate. When a tree has to be removed, how many trees are we going to put in its place at possibly other sites in the city? Mm-hmm. It's just keeping it over and over and over. It's a process that we go through. So if you're in Ward 6 or Ward 7 and you're interested in this, the mayor makes the appointments to the tree committee and to most committees, and they are confirmed by the city council. What he's done on this tree committee in the past, since he's been mayor, is he will take nominations from the individual council members. And then if they're all in agreement, this person would be a good candidate, or if they have two or three to pick out of, they make a decision and move forward. Bottom line is, if you're interested in Ward 6 or 7, contact your council member, and then we go from there. It is a non-paying position. However, it shows your love of your city. Is that it? What about BTV?
Well, we have BTV going on as our government access channel. It is currently on Cable One, or now known as Sparklight, channel 56. We are, if you do turn it on there, you will see our little scroll across the top of text that says that we are working on this, so bear with us, but we have a lot of videos that are being shown right now, informational pieces such as our Are You Ready event that we had a couple weeks ago, which had a lot of officials that came up and talked about the importance of preparing for a storm and what you need to do now for a storm. We are in hurricane season.
But what's the big thing on BTV? What's the big thing that's filmed every Tuesday?
We also have our city council meetings that are filmed every Tuesday meeting that they have, which is usually the first, third, and fourth Tuesday of the month, and those are also aired on BTV. So the meeting we were talking about earlier with Gwen Gallott, that's actually airing now, and I believe it's on right now.
If you want to go to the city's website, we got the whole lineup there, but you see a lot of historic vignettes about the city of Biloxi. It's all things Biloxi. We don't want to be WLOX. We don't want to be WXXV. We don't want to be ABC. We don't even want to be Fox. But what we are doing is we're giving you a feel for your community where you can know what's going on, what's happening, and how you can be involved. And we're hoping to be a little educational and entertaining as we go about our way. That's Cable Channel 56 in Biloxi, coming in a few weeks on UVerse Channel 99. And then it's just in Biloxi. It's our little secret in Biloxi. We've got that secret, and we've also got our little newsletter that you have to live in Biloxi to get BTV or the B News. I think that wraps up everything we have to talk about, but we want to remind people, be careful, be patient on the roads this weekend. We're going to have a lot of visitors in town. Watch those cones. Don't be a conehead, William Sackett.
You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.